Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I got a question for you. What do you think your maximum concentration is? I'm going to tell you that we have limitations of how many different things we can keep track of. And I'm going to ask you this. Do you think the progressives, the mainstream media, and those who are trying to overwhelm us with their agenda and so forth, do you think they're aware of how much they can throw out and keep you so busy on distractions that you really miss what the heck's really going on? And the fact is that you get, and if they, and they know very specific topics that will, you know, pique your interest and consume you. And therefore, it's almost like if you notice how people complain about Trump and his Twitter account, there's no doubt in my mind, and everybody talks about this, that Trump drives the news media crazy because he drives the narrative and forces them to deal with what he wants them to focus on so he can do other things. Well, so it obviously it takes two to tango, and there's some tangoing going on because we have an administration that is not following suit for the mainstream media. But the fact of the matter is, what are they doing to you? How are they impacting your ability to focus and actually start not focusing on them and focusing on a solution? Excuse me. One of the things I really try to put out there is the fact that all of these things that the federal government is doing, that the news is, you know, driving you crazy on, all of these things can be solved if you focus on the solution. Covey, I forget his name, Frank or whatever. Covey wrote a book about, The Seven Habits of Most Successful People. And he talks about these quadrants, and he talks about draining the swamp. And he says, well, you have to fight off alligators. Well, there in real life, there can be alligators that come and actually distract you. But what do you call it when people are throwing pseudo-alligators or illusionary alligators at you, and you don't know if it's a real alligator or not, and it just consumes you because you're trying to fight off all these alligators? Probably the smartest thing a person can do, and I really mean this, is stop watching television. Start reading books and start understanding and reading founding documents. If you really want to get involved in saving the Constitution, the best thing you can do is stop watching the news, stop watching TV, and the distractions. I regret the fact that I even have to pay attention to these distractions just so I can use them as fulcrums to help leverage you away from being entrenched in following these things, in being consumed by their narrative. If you want to solve a problem, the quickest and most easiest way is to focus on the problem and solving it. We just have to get to that equal agreement point. We have to come to that point where we equally informed and we equally understand and agree that the problem is compliance to the Constitution. If you're there, then it's time to start focusing on what it's going to take to fix the problem, because the problem is, the solution is actually pretty simple compared to the problem. And that's Republic Review. That is getting the states to audit the Constitution and force the federal government. So the federal government isn't this big, huge building. It's not a bunch of guns. It's people. It's representatives. It's Congress. And it's representatives from your states who you have leverage with. Once you get to this point of saying all of these things are unconstitutional, Congress, that means our representatives. You just fill in the blank with the names of your representatives and say, you are doing things that are a violation of the Constitution. And have your state legislators actually start enforcing the laws of the land. There are things called treason, and there are things called moral perjury, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Those two laws were put in place so that we could go after bad players who are deliberately doing things to undermine, attack, and even weaken or get rid of and destroy our constitutional republic. So, I just want you to start thinking. They know what keeps you engaged, and they are driving you down the road so that they can get away with murder. If you understand what happens when a major shift of power occurs, it's not something that, oh, all of a sudden we're all just, you know, we're all rewired and we're all happy. No. Every time there's a major shift of power, especially one of these types of shifts where we're going from a state of liberty to a state of subjugation, the people that love liberty aren't going to take it sitting down, and they know that, and they're ready and willing to kill you all off. That's the facts. They understand that you pose a threat to their control. And if you, and they know that there's people that may be, you know, okay with the progressive agenda, but when they realize and they see the teeth of what's coming down the ranks, then there's no doubt in my mind those people will flip, especially if they see a real resistance and real credibility to the resistance. That's why they have to strike quickly, and they have to take you out. They have to take us out. So if you understand that, if you understand the ramifications historically of what's happening, what's it going to take to get you engaged in the only solution that will solve these problems? The Convention of States is a joke. We don't need to amend. It's not term limits. It's not a balanced budget. None of that will stop this Leviathan from destroying us, the swamp from flooding us and drowning us. I am telling you, if you have a good argument, email me, because I'm interested. I'll even play it on the air. And as a matter of fact, if you want to, I'll even engage you so that you can defend it. I'll do my best not to undermine what you really believe is the way to go and the solution. But the fact of the matter is, I've had academic scholars that recognize Republic Review. I've already played Dr. Vile's interview, and he would rather see nothing happen like a convention of states than Republic Review, because he knows Republic Review will force the federal government into compliance of the Constitution. That's the whole objective, is compliance, my friends. That is the objective. Do not believe anybody that is trying to convince you otherwise. It is not a path to amending the Constitution. Now, I can tell you that I think there's some things that we could probably use, but amending the Constitution is a conversation that we have to have after we get compliance. And then the states can sit down and decide, okay, but I don't think we'll ever need a Article 5 convention. I don't think we'll need it. Because once the states gain control of Congress again, and they actually have people that are doing their bidding and representing their interests, and there's ways to take back the Senate, and I've given you the academic path of doing that as well. I don't think anybody can refute this. I don't believe, and as a matter of fact, the fact of the matter is the Supreme Court and the courtrooms are not involved in rescinding the 17th Amendment. This literally comes down to the will and the power of the states over Congress, because Congress has jurisdiction over political matters. The court has no jurisdiction over political matters. They've said this time and time again. It is precedence, as a matter of fact. Every time the guarantee clause comes up, they keep on going, Congress has to fix it. The 17th Amendment is the same thing. It is a political issue. And I'm here to tell you that when it comes down to the states actually demanding compliance and demanding very specific things, they will get every amendment that they want to drive forward. I honestly think that we do not need to have the Article 5 process in Article 5 anymore. But it's always nice to have a nuclear option just in case. But I honestly can't see that. It's just literally a matter of my three premises that I've been telling you. Reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. Knowledge is power. And the people are the fountain of power, of political power. And so if you understand that, all we have to do is start agreeing on being succinct in the message and getting and using that message as a lever, leverage of power with our political representatives. It's easy. They will do everything we want them to do, or we'll find somebody to replace them, because we have a mechanism of replacing them. We have mechanisms of recalling them. As a matter of fact, we have to improve those methods of recalling them. You want to get them to actually comply better, and you want to get them to be in your corner, to doing your bidding more and less for those people that are buying their votes that aren't even in the in their districts, and they're not even their constituencies. They're just buying them. Our government is up for sale, and we can stop it, my friends. I'm at a hard break, and I'll do my obligatories when we get back right after this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. You know, my friends, we live in a time where people are getting away with murder. People are getting away with committing very heinous crimes. And a good part of that is because these people can tell you what the law means. And what I'm trying to tell you is that there are lawmakers, there are judges, there are people that have positions in government that do not know what the supreme law of the land states. They don't know what their state constitution states. They don't understand it. And that's how they get away with murder. And if you start looking at the ramifications, I'm not marginalizing this because people have died over the fact. And I'll be honest, how many people have died at the hands of government violating the law? So, we already know that the government, federal government, doesn't have any authority over the environment. And we know that the government has actually banned substances like DDT, which has caused malaria. DDT was a successful inoculation, or I should say a successful treatment plan of getting rid of the mosquitoes and malaria. There has been zero evidence to prove that the eagles were being harmed, that the eagles' eggs, or anything. There was none. And we all know that it was all a hoax. So the question is, how many people have died from malaria because we banned the use of DDT? As a knee-jerk reaction because somebody published a book without any academic proof, without any empirical data, and we are being tossed to and fro. But the fact of the matter is, it's not just the Silent Spring book that was published that made these outlandish assertions. It's the fact that Congress, a government agency that does not have the jurisdiction or power to even regulate such a substance, actually overstepped their bounds and did so. And in doing that, how many people have died? The same thing with CAFE standards. When the government stepped in and told cars how to start building, that they had to make them lighter and so forth, how many people have died in collisions due to safety problems because they're making these things like aluminum beer cans with no protection? And you had all of these heavy tanks that were still on the road at the time. People die all the time as the consequences of what our lawmakers are doing, both state and federal. And so my point is that they're getting away with murder because you and the majority of the public do not understand the law. We would not allow them to just kill people. But when they can hoodwink us and tell us, yeah, we have the power to do this, and we defy you to prove us wrong, well, the day has come for their comeuppance. Karma has come back. We now have the data available to us through the ratification debates. We now have the agreements of the contract that were stipulated by the states and or stipulated by the authors of the Constitution, says this is what this means, and this is how you are to define this. It's that simple, friends. It really is. It's not this difficult for us to actually stand up and say, you don't have these authorities. The process is you request it in an amendment, and we will delegate that power so that you can do that. But that way we have a check, because our whole system was based on checks and balances. And so if the federal government thinks that they should have this role, responsibility, or power, let's just say labor. Let's say the federal government thinks it's a good idea that they start regulating child labor and, you know, just fundamental labor. So they write an amendment and they send it out to the good folks of the United States and say, please delegate this power so that we can regulate labor. And the states say, no way. Well, guess what, friends? That's exactly what happened in 1926. As a matter of fact, Coolidge was the champion for the labor amendment. And when it came back and they said, we're not going to delegate you the ability to regulate labor, well, Coolidge said, okay. That's too bad, because he was a progressive president. He wanted to see the federal government expand its roles in having those powers. And that was because he was taught and his paradigm was trapped in this box of centralizing powers. he couldn't think out of that box and understanding that distributive powers is the most efficient form of government, because allowing the states and local communities the most amount of power over most all things in life, then you can actually have the ability to, you know, try things and say, oh, well, that's not working, and get rid of it. Once it is centralized in the federal government, it is like, I'll use the term pulling your own teeth, not just pulling teeth, but pulling your own teeth. It ain't easy. Anyway, and I'm going through a whole other segment through this monologue. But this is how important this is. This is how important, if we want to engage, if we want to save our liberty so that our children, our grandchildren, are going to live in a society where they have the ultimate sovereignty over their life, where they can choose whether they're going to accept inoculations and vaccinations or whether they're not going to accept those and take the risks. We want to give them a society where they have all controls, if not most controls, if not all controls. I understand that there are some things that the states can do, and we've, you know, regulated that. Most people think that the ballot initiative is the process of doing that, and that is a huge faux pas. That's a huge mistake. No, the best thing you can do is every so once in a while, as a matter of fact, I forget what state it was, but a state actually has it in their constitution to call for a constitutional convention, to have the county send delegates and call for a constitutional convention of the state to review the constitution to determine if it needs any changes based on technology, based on the times have changed, and so forth. And I honestly think that that should be baked into every state constitution. The problem is the Democrats and the progressives, the communists, don't want you to maintain a constitutional republic system. They want you to move into democracy so they can move you very quickly by actually having a quick vote to surrender your sovereignty just like that and get rid of something. So, what is it going to take, my friends? What will it take to get you actually to start getting involved? You know, you're listening to the only show that actually provides you. I'm spoon-feeding you. And I don't mind doing this because I truly believe that this is the best service I can do, is helping you come to the realization that we have the authority and power vested in us in the Constitution to step up and force compliance. They did everything they could. And as a matter of fact, I'm here to tell you, it was the divine hand of providence that made sure that that Constitution had all the tools necessary for us to this, in this day, when they've drifted so far away from it, and now we have access to the legal agreements of what that Constitution means. Now we have the ability to enforce and get back into compliance of the Constitution and restore our liberties and restore our sovereignty. It's really that simple. So, I was planning on getting into the Virginia resolutions today and try to finish up, because I kind of wrapped up in the middle of that. But there are some things that I really wanted to go into and that I wanted to cover. So let me try to leap forward. And if I don't get into the resolutions, I promise, tune in tomorrow. We're going to give you why these resolutions were so important, the Kentucky and the Virginia resolutions of Jefferson and Madison, in standing up against federal tyranny when they started regulating speech. And we're going to get into the very specific words, because the next paragraph that I'm getting into is where Madison actually starts talking about the ratification process and exactly what the states wanted and what they expected. And so I'm going to get into that because he's already covered the fact that the Constitution, you don't have this power within the Constitution. And then he gets into the ratification. But with that, let me, I've got less than a minute left. Let me actually just tell you that if you want to contact me, info@reclaimingtherepublic, I want to hear your perspectives. And if you want to get a comment in, like Tony and some of the other comments that I've gotten via email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And we will get into some groveling really quick. Go to our GoFundMe and help us cover the travel costs. That's all we're asking for, is covering our travel costs. Reclaiming the Republic campaign on the GoFundMe. The link is right there on the Reclaiming the Republic webpage. Join the ConstitutionClub.ning.com. Go get involved there and get involved with OurFirstRight.org. And we will be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And before I lean too far forward, because I just really glossed over the obligatories, let me just say this. Thank you for tuning in. I do appreciate it. I actually appreciate your feedback, your emails, your comments, and so forth. I'm not sure how many of you have Twitter accounts, but you can follow us. And actually, the links to our Twitter account are on our MobiusStripPress.com. Same thing with our Facebook account. And so if you want to go there and interface, send us comments that way. However you want to interface with us, that's fine with us. Thank you for listening. Please let people know that the solution is being broadcasted. This revolution will be broadcasted, and we're going to make sure that the transparency is there. We're setting up a state span in every state. Actually, most states kind of have it already, but we're actually going to create what is needed to give you the message, and so you can see the dialogue, so everybody can start seeing what the heck these state legislators are doing and what kind of shenanigans they're trying to pull when we want them to be fully accountable. So let me move forward a little bit. As I've told you, Red Pill Expo is the event you want to attend. It is June 7th
8th and 9th in Hartford, Connecticut. It's a great opportunity to rub elbows, meet, and actually have a conversation with the good people on that list. I know Alan Myers, who we'll hopefully have him on the show one of these days when he's got everything ready for his books and little e-books and so forth. And he's going to be speaking about the Fed and, you know, how they've been basically stealing from us and so forth. And he'll be there. You can talk to him. There's going to be a lot of different people that are going to be there on the floor that you'll actually be able to rub elbows with and have some very interesting conversations. These people are leaders of thought, and they're the ones who are out there, if you want to consider some of the stuff they're doing in marketing, but they're trying to challenge paradigms is really what they're doing. So there you go. That is the event of the summer. If you were conservative, this is a bigger event, if you ask me, than CPAC, because CPAC isn't focused on the Agenda 21 and the things that are truly killing us. That's one of the reasons why, you know, these establishment, conservative, controlled opposition types of organizations aren't doing us any favor, because they're not discussing the difficult topics that need to be discussed. Well, so let me move forward. And what I'm going to do, actually, I'll do something different. Let me give you a list of things that I'm not going to cover today, but we will cover it down the road. If not tomorrow, we will cover this on Monday or Tuesday next week. One of the things we want to cover is we want to cover Eric Holder. I want to give you some background on Eric Holder, since he came out and said that America was never great. Everybody's entitled to opinion, but if you want to stand up and assert something like that, and if you're not just going to hoist your own petard or blow hot air, then I think you need to really provide some good academic data. And just be prepared, because there are some of us that can actually provide the academic data that it was never America. There may have been individuals, states, or what have you that institutionalized some, you know, some bad things, but it had nothing to do with our Constitution and the founding principles that made America. So we're here to slap reality into Mr. Holder's face, and we will do that very soon. But I'm going to get through these resolutions first. I'm also going to get through the Obama cabinet and how Trump needs to do a serious investigation, because these people are still out there. These people can still hold offices. Loretta Lynch, Sebelius, Geithner. How many of Obama's cabinets, you know, owed taxes and never paid? Some of them had to pay just so that they could get these cabinet positions. But these were all a bunch of tax frauds. And we all want to make a big deal out of Trump not showing his tax records? Come on. I'm telling you, the IRS would have been out there, because the IRS is still the deep state agency that it has been. And they'd be out there leading the charge that, hey, Trump didn't pay his fair share. I'm telling you, that's exactly what would be happening. So moving on, we're going to get into Biden. We're going to get into plugs and some of the lunacies that he has done and some of the nefarious things that he has done. Aside from the fact that I know he's going to be stepping into Circus Maximus, but we want to get into and expose Biden for the type of thug he is. Also want to get into it. I want to give this some real good time and exposure. Kate Steinle's parents were now just told by the Ninth Circuit Court that they can't sue a sanctuary city for its laws. Well, they may not be able to sue directly because of that ruling, but they can go after every single one of these people with charges. And I'm going to tell you how to do this. And I'm hoping Kate Steinle's parents understand this and they move forward. I would like to get a hold of Kate Steinle's parents so they could move forward. I want to start seeing people removed from office and actually banned and barred from ever holding office again. Comey, well, he's not going to go away. He's like that that thing in the toilet that just won't flush, right? So we need to get into a little bit of how Comey wants to kind of obfuscate the narrative and continue to do damage control. And so we'll get into him next week. And more importantly, I mentioned this when the Supreme Court made the ruling that unions could not take dues from teachers. Now there are two organizations, two groups of teachers in California, no doubt, they're actually suing because they're being held against their will because the unions are taking their money without their permission. I'm also going to give you a really good inside look on buying and the risks you take in buying tech from China. Also want to talk about, because this is going to have an impact on our constitutional republic, Puerto Rico becoming a state. And even more importantly, to address nepotism within politics, we literally need to have this conversation regarding nepotism, because everybody would really quickly say, hey, the Obama girls, there's no way they should ever be president. Chelsea Clinton should be barred as well. But there are reasons for that, and it really should be just based on nepotism. We should never allow somebody, unless they've earned their own path, just because they, you know, have the same DNA as somebody that had held office, doesn't mean that that was a good person, and doesn't mean that that person should have an easy path to a position of public service. And I'm telling you, people, once we get into compliance, there's a lot of people that aren't going to want to do public service anymore because there's no way of getting rich anymore. And that's what we want. We want a public service that is a noble service, not a service of elitism and being above the law and so forth. So these are the types of topics that we're going to be getting into probably Monday and next week, because I literally just have one segment left. And so we'll probably have to finish the Kentucky resolutions. But there are two things that I did not get to finish that I need to cover now. State journalism standards. I asserted this yesterday that states have, and I've said this before, states actually have standards on plumbing, electricity, construction, florists, food, animals. You have to license your pet. You have to license even a trailer. They have all of these standards of how something is going to operate within that state. We also need to pose standards for journalism, but let me state the obvious as well. We need to demand standards of public service. We cannot just allow these hacks, there's a better word for it. I was going to say some bad word, but we cannot allow these hacks to be able to obtain access to controlling us and violating the law, because most people in most states don't even read their own constitution because there's just so much there, so that nobody really wants to find out if their public servants are violating the very own laws that they're supposed to be writing. And I'm here to tell you that most of the progressives are. They're implementing programs that are violations of either the U.S. Constitution or they're violating their own state constitution. A good example of that is like water control. If all of a sudden they say, if you own land, you can't put in your own wells anymore. That's an ex post facto law. We've covered that. And lawmakers are really good at the state level of creating ex post facto laws. But the U.S. Constitution says states can't do it and the federal government can't do it, because they know ex post facto laws is the fastest pathway to tyranny, because now they can start straddling you with all sorts of things. One of the other things that I think is really important, because I talked about this yesterday, and we talked about how this Islamist in Pennsylvania took offense because a Christian prayed and said every knee shall bow and, you know, mentioned Jesus in her prayer and so forth. As I told you yesterday, if the tables were turned, things would be a lot different. And so I'm just kind of covering some of the things I told you yesterday. And I actually have, you know, as as serendipitous as this is, it came up in the news today that actually supports exactly what I was saying. So I want to drive this message home, and we will be right back with that message after the break. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So let me finish my idea on these journalism standards. Most people have the misconception that the press should be free, or that the press has this constitutional protection from any types of regulations and or standards. And that's the furthest thing from the truth, my friends. Fact of the matter is that there is no constitution, there's nothing within the Constitution that guarantees restraints upon, that there will be no restraints or the freedom of the press at every level of government. The Bill of Rights is a standard, or I should say a nugatory, that is placed upon very specific things that the federal government cannot do. The Bill of Rights is not a nugatory on states. It is only a negative against the federal government. So the federal government cannot pass any laws against the press. They can't suppress the press in any way. However, the states and local governments can, and they should. They should suppress the press by very specific standards of objective journalism. And so if CNN wants to broadcast out of Atlanta, so what would end up happening is you would have to force all national news agencies into Washington, D.C. so that they can get away with actually, you know, projecting their national journalism on the national level, but anything that they do about the states, in the states, and so forth, if they're broadcasting in those states, the states can regulate them to ensure objective journalism. Well, how can I say this? The 14th Amendment was the amendment that applied the individual privileges and immunities and protections like the Second Amendment, First Amendment, and all of those things. But it's only for the individual citizen. It is not for institutions and organizations. And I will read it to you. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. It didn't say of news agencies, churches, or what have you. So that's why I've been telling you the states absolutely have a constitutional right, if they want to establish a state church. And every state has the constitutional right to put regulations and go after news agencies that are failing to meet journalism standards or regulate them however they want to. Like in California, because it's so communist, California could shut down all of the conservative news agencies and so forth. They could. And watch everybody flee California. And California would be left holding the bag. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, they get no pity. They get no bailout when they collapse. We just come in, we clean them all up and say, okay, we're not cleaning you up, but you're going to have to pay all of this stuff off. They put them into conservatorship, and they have to literally start unshackling all of the regulations and so forth, and we'll just redo California from zero. That's what we'll have to do. But all of these other states that do not want to impose, you know, propaganda and allow news agencies to get away with maintaining a propaganda narrative like all guns are bad, white men are bad, you know, that kind of stuff, then we need to start holding them to journalistic standards. And so the fact of the matter is the states are not bound constitutionally in giving the press free rein of being able to do the progressive narrative. Are you getting this? Red states, you have the ability to actually regulate journalism in your state. I'm hoping you're understanding what I'm saying. Your state legislators can actually pass laws that establish standards. And when the court comes along and says, hey, you can't do this, say, well, where do you have jurisdiction over this federal court? Because it's not an enumerated power. It clearly says, and it's not listed in the 14th Amendment, you have to amend the Constitution to gain that level of jurisdiction. So this is why understanding and complying to the Constitution is really important, and why those certain things weren't put in for the states so the states could actually create barriers and mechanisms to protecting itself from being bamboozled by a campaign of propaganda and a bunch of slander, obfuscations, and everything else that we're seeing them pull on us. Okay? So let me get into this this thing about the Pennsylvania prayer and this Islamist that took offense and was calling them out, and now they're attacking this state legislator for actually giving a Christian prayer. Where's Brunei? Do you know where Brunei is? Okay. Most people don't. It is in the Pacific. It's north of Australia. And as a matter of fact, if you go to a map, you'll probably find that it is on the east side of the Malaccan Strait, or that strait that goes right there by Singapore and up, that kind of divides the Indian Ocean from the Pacific Ocean. But it is just north of the west side of Australia, still in the Pacific Ocean. But what is Brunei? Is Brunei a Christian nation? Actually, it used to be. It's not Christian anymore. And guess what? Brunei is now implementing death by stoning. So they're implementing these stoning laws that you can go and kill homosexuals by death by stoning. And you can kill adulteresses and so forth. They're allowing you to go after these folks. And how? What kind of law is this? This is the implementation of Sharia law. Remember I told you how intolerant they are towards somebody that is a sinner and so forth, somebody that is an infidel. Remember, Joseph's story referred to non-Christians as infidels. Just want you to know that. And so in this country, an infidel was an Islamist, a Jew, or anybody that did not believe in Christ. Just telling you, that was the fact. Go read Joseph Story's bio. That was the standards. Now, you got to remember that Christians were Gentiles according to the Jews. So every theology has kind of had a disparaging label that they put on the non-believers. But the fact of the matter is that we have never had stoning law. Now, we've had dual laws. When you impugn somebody's character or their good name, they can challenge you to a duel. But I don't believe we've ever had, since the Constitution, laws that have allowed stoning for morality purposes. Now, we have had laws that would put people in jail. As a matter of fact, in 1959, 1960, every state in the Union had laws against sodomy and homosexuality, that if you were caught or proven homosexual, that you were engaging in homosexual acts, you could be arrested and put in jail. Every state. And look at today, every state is ignoring, those laws are probably still on the books, and every state is ignoring those. So how quickly we have turned from a moral culture to a moral of debasement and chasing the self-gratification and those quick feel-good feelings as we've all been kind of pursuing. And so my point is, my friends, is that if you actually allow yourself to take a minute and analyze when somebody is taking offense because somebody has said something disparaging about their religion, about their country, like Holder saying something disparaging about America. Well, I'm here to tell you, my friends, that sticks and stones can break our bones, but words will never hurt us. And we're not going to mollycoddle anybody who has sensitivities and they want to cry because they got offended because you said Jesus and you said every knee will bow. That hurts my feelings. I don't care. We cannot care about these things. We cannot allow ourselves to gag ourselves. We cannot allow ourselves to tie our hands in our expressions in America. We need to embrace these things, and we need to actually be proud of these things. These are the things that made America great. And Eric Holder doesn't know anything about why America is great, because he's been taught in the communist box. He's been an activist almost all of his life. That's why we're going to get into Mr. Holder down the road here, hopefully Monday or Tuesday. But my point is, and I didn't get a chance to get into the resolutions today, my point is that if you start taking a minute and actually looking at who is pointing the finger, you will find that those people pointing the finger are far worse. When you give them the latitude to actually control you, go look in these countries where they have the full control, and they will arrest you. They will kill you. They'll behead you if you don't convert. They will come after you till you're either out of their country or dead. And it's that simple, my friends. I'm speaking the truth. And so, you know, we can't be damned by the truth. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. It's time to start getting involved, my friends. Let 2019 be the year. God bless. We'll be back tomorrow. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.